Hi, I'm Patricia Bethune. I play Jane Boathouse on HBO's True Blood, and this is Out There with Jeff Rector.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector.
Jeff Rector
on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Out There, the show that focuses on the genres of science fiction, fantasy, and horror. On television, the big screen, the internet, the media, and everywhere else in the universe. Sit down in your favorite electric chair, pour yourself a pint of blood, and open your psychic connection because you're connected to Out There. Welcome to another episode of Out There from the LA Talk Radio Station. Very excited, pleased, and just wondrous to have good friend, terrific actress, Patricia Bethune in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Great dance and music in the show.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Just gets you all riled up, doesn't
exactly.
It?
Exactly.
Gets you into the show. We just ran into each other recently at the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
Yep.
We're both voting Emmy members, and there was a really, really fun event for the performers peer group.
Mm-hmm. For the nominees that are coming up this year in the Emmys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very nice party.
Great party.
Saw some recognizable faces. And
some of the nominees were there. Beau Bridges. Bob Newhart was there.
Was he really? I missed Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart, yeah.
Darn it. Mm-hmm. So during the party, me and my friends, after we had a few drinks, we got up there and we were practicing our own Emmy speeches. Yeah, it was fun. Let's talk about nominations. Did True Blood pick up any?
You know, they have a few, but I think next year will be our year. This season, because we didn't qualify this season. That'll be for next year.
Why is that?
It's the timing of when it airs.
You started out in the first season?
Yeah, I did one episode in the first season, and I went home. They said it would recur, and I read all the books really fast and saw who Jane was in the books, and then I didn't hear from them, and so I sold all the books. And I let
on
it go.
On eBay.
Oh, yeah. So then I let it go. And then they called me last November and put me on hold for the new season. And Alan Ball said this is what he had intended. So it was just a beautiful gift this year.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Alan Ball, of course, mm-hmm. is the creator, producer, and sometimes director mm-hmm. Of the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, yeah. And writer. He wrote last week's episode, Frenzy, which was really fun.
Crazy,
I know.
Frenzy's a good title for that one.
I know, I lost my finger. Well, okay, I cut it off myself, but still.
you lost it.
where is it now?
Where is it now? Anybody seen my finger? Yeah, that's what happens when you play with knives.
Well, exactly, and Jane's normally only around ice cubes.
So let's talk about this character arc and where it's gone. A lot of crazy stuff has happened this season.
Mm-hmm.
The townspeople, we introduce a new character played by Michelle Forbes.
Right, right.
Terrific actress, and what a great range, but ultra creepy. I mean,
she's a Maenad, yes, and nobody really knew what it is or anything. And in the first episode for me this season, I'm one of the first ones turned. So my eyes go black, and she basically feeds off of sexual energy, frenetic energy, all of that. So all of our energies feed her.
So they led the audience to believe that it was a cult group of Satanists, but it really, but a Maenad really isn't, as they're explaining it now. She's an ancient character from Greece.
Right, and she's calling the demon in.
She's almost like a siren.
Exactly. So she created her own being in energies to become, basically.
Over the centuries.
Indestructible, yeah.
So she comes into the town of Bon Ton.
Uh-huh.
Bon Ton. Bon Ton. Did I say that right?
Yes.
And basically starts taking over the town.
Rutina called her in. Tara's character, Tara, calls her in last season during an
exhibition. I love her,
yes,
Tara.
Yes, she's great. Rutina was wonderful. So her
Psycho.
Character called her into the town. So.
First episode, she's like cussing out all the characters. Wow.
She was cussing me out. I can't believe it. But I think she was only caring. That's how I prefer to look at it.
That's how her character cares, yes.
Exactly.
If she's not using profanity against you, she really doesn't like you. So
that's it. She doesn't bother. That's
you know where you stand. So you've become this sort of cult
under
Michelle's character, under her guidance, and all hell breaks loose, literally.
Literally, yes, yes. We end up in all kinds of compromising positions. In orgies and things like that.
Good family fare.
Good family fare. It hasn't come up a lot in my career prior to this, but...
do you get to run around naked and screaming with your eyes blacked out much?
Well, Jane's lost a lot of her clothes, but not all of them. So she's still somewhat.
What's one of your lines you keep? I lost my pants.
Or anybody who wants to debrief me can do so right now.
It really is.
The writers do a great job.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. You read it, you instantly know what they're going for. You don't have to figure out much with their scripts. The writing is just so brilliant.
Yeah, but they are also brilliant, and then they watch what you do. And then as the season progresses, they start writing for the direction and combining what you do into what they're writing for the character, and it's really a lovely collaboration. It thrilled me when I was like, oh, they got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they got me.
They got me. Yes, I know.
And that says a lot about what you've brought to the role.
Oh, thank you.
Because now they're incorporating your own personality.
Yeah.
And maybe foibles or quirks that you bring to the character. You go, oh, God, it was great when she did that. Let's add some more of that into the script.
Yes, exactly. And they followed it through. Even the sound people have contributed in kind of creating the arc for my character through my laugh at some times. So it's really been a joy to kind of be a part of.
So then a week from Sunday is the much-anticipated season finale of True
13th.
Blood. Anything you can tell us? I know you can't give anything away, but...
No, I can't, but I could tell you, I mean, there'll be a wedding. I could tell you that. They've been showing pictures online, so I guess I can say that, yeah.
They go, why'd you talk about the wedding? It's online already. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been pretty careful about it, but yeah, it's you'll see a lot of very fun things going on, but it's really worth the watch, and it pays off all the storylines.
Can
year.
I guesstimate? Is well, it Terry? Yeah. Is it the redhead, the waitress, and the cook?
Well, Carrie Preston and Todd Lowe, who are wonderful. But no. This is the wedding of Marianne, the main ad.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's time.
Crazy.
It's
well, who's she marrying?
We haven't seen her. We've been calling Dionysus, and so I think we have a new character coming in this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say, everyone else is getting it on but her, so it's like, how's that going to work? We haven't seen it with a guy, so how is marriage going to... I guess it doesn't have to be a guy.
It doesn't have to be. It can come in any form.
It
really.
Certainly could, especially if you're a shape-shifting manad.
Ooh.
Could be. Yeah. Anything.
Well.
You know, there's nothing like a good old Southern down-home man-and wedding. I gotta tell you.
By the tree. The meat
really,
tree out front.
By the meat tree.
Yeah, we called it Dimitri.
Come on, everybody. We're getting married at the meat tree.
But it's it's well worth the watch. Everybody
oh, great. Well,
I'm
really loving the show. You are outstanding.
Thank you, John.
John Billingsley?
John,
is your hookup?
Mike Spencer. He's my man so far.
And
that you see.
he actually got to grope Anna Paquin on the last episode.
Last episode, yes, they cut
Lucky
him for
bastard.
A long time on the floor. Yeah, he's a good man. He's really good.
I was projecting myself
into
his body. Yes, when I saw that. Good for him. John is no stranger to the genres. He played Dr. Phlox on the TV series Star Trek Voyager
right.
for many seasons as the doctor for the Enterprise. Really great job. Really terrific actor. And I'm glad to see him on this.
Yeah, he plays a rather swarmy feeling character on the show, but he's truly a lovely human being. Yeah, I was very lucky to have him be the one doing me.
Yeah, so how was it having the local coroner doing you? The coroner, and also he's the mortician.
Yes, right, right. Well, at least he knows body parts, wouldn't you say?
But you're alive, so...
Well, so finally something's moving this time, is that what you're saying?
He's something new for him. It's great, Alan Ball. How's it working with him? I've met him. Of course, he created 6 Feet Under, one of my favorite shows when that was on.
Yes, No, he's a wonderful guy. He creates an atmosphere where every single person is respected.
Were you a fan of 6 Feet Under when that was on?
You know, I love 6 Feet Under. I didn't watch it a lot while it was on because I had a lot of people dying in my own life, so I didn't find a lot of the humor. But
didn't find it that humorous, did you?
But looking back and watching it later, like I went and watched almost any movie from those 5-year period of time, and a lot of humor is there, but it's a great series. And John was on it as well, and they actually gave an homage to apparently the way he was killed in the 6 Feet Under by being hit over the head with a frying pan in last week's episode. But it's
a
great
homage.
Show. An homage.
I love it when we can throw in fancy French words on my show. It really makes me sound smart.
Well, we're kicking it up.
This is a smart show. Yeah, I really, really dug it. And Alan discovered and gave careers to actors like Michael C. Hall, who's now incredible on the show Dexter, which is
a
great show about a serial killer who's actually a hero, which I certain respects, most respects. But,
well, exactly.
He's still a killer, but we love him. He's a lovable serial killer. And that's a terrific show.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that a lot of your friends had passed away at that time, and it was kind of a dark time for you. I have an interesting story. I directed my first film last year. It's called Revamped.
Oh, wow,
it's
great.
A vampire film.
Look at that connection.
Yeah.
Great.
How's that for a segue into a personal plug?
I love that.
www.revampedthemovie.com, folks. Check it out. You can get it on Netflix and Blockbuster. Oh, but back to my story. End of plug. I play a businessman who gets bitten by a beautiful vampire. And
she was just the best person for the job.
You know, beauty and breasts had nothing to do with it. I was just looking for the best actress I could find. And,
there you go.
And fortunately,
isn't it great when it comes in that package?
That just came with it, and it really worked out swell.
Funny.
And so she bites me. I turn into a vampire. So all of a sudden, I'm sort of plunged into the dark world of the supernatural, and obviously being undead isn't all that it's cracked up to be, I find out. But there's a scene in a funeral home where, you know, I die before I come back. So we're shooting in my friend's house up in the Hollywood Hills, so we dressed the living room to look like a funeral parlor. My friend whose house we used, his mother died. You know, I'm like, there's no way he's going to let us. He comes home and it's like a funeral parlor.
God.
I'm like, oh my God, where am I going to get another location? And how are we going to? And he was cool about it. And he goes, no, don't worry about it. And he was cool and we shot. And how's that
good
for
sport.
Stepping up?
Well, but, sometimes in the creative process, we don't think about the big picture for others.
Right. It's all about us. We'll be going through your IMDb credits. Let's talk about some of the other characters on the show.
Oh, sure. Well, you have Anna Paquin, of course, and Stephen Moyer. And
what a great couple they make, huh?
I hope so,
Really a great chemistry between those two.
They're really fine actors, and they really set a tone on the set of just, you know, creative integrity. They're a really good couple. And you wouldn't know they were a couple, necessarily. They're just great actors on a set, so it's nice.
But they're together now, right?
That's what the papers say.
The rumor mill is they've gotten together.
I believe that's true, yeah.
I've been in that situation. You work so closely with someone for a long time, and you know, obviously you're making that on-camera connection, and a lot of times it follows through off the set as well.
Mutual
admiration for each other.
That's nice. I always find it a little bit more dangerous. I kind of would rather just work with people and have my crazy personal life off the set. But everybody's kind of different in that way. Yeah. But if you're spending the hours, you don't have time.
And the downside is, you know, you have this great connection, and you know, and you start dating or whatever, and then the show ends, and it's like, oh well, I've got to go off and do this, and she's got to go off and do that, and it's like, well, it was fun.
Oh, you mean far? Yes, but, yeah.
Because then a lot of times it doesn't really work because you're both busy actors, and you know, you're moving on to different
where
things.
Where did she go, Jeff? Tell us what happened. You see, that's the problem. Makes time go fast on the set. But everybody handles it differently, and I think the two of them have a personal relationship off.
And also, in addition to the show arc with the Manad and her minions,
yeah,
we're also learning some past history about Steven's character. And sort of where his character has come from, and I guess the woman who turned him has now shown up, and she's still, I guess it's the same thing, huh? She's like working with someone on the show on a set.
So the first person you've traveled with for a few hundred years, you kind of get attached.
you just can't let it go sometimes, and I guess it's called stalking.
I believe that's what she did this season. Yes.
So Steven's got a vampire stalker, first bitten, and that's sort of interesting.
Beautiful. She did a great job.
Chris Bauer as Detective Andy Belflor.
Funniest man.
Drunk.
Oh yes, can't hold that against him. Some of the best people.
It just
are
makes
drunk.
The townspeople. It just makes everyone hard to believe him because he's a drunk.
Oh yeah, he's really a fine actor. He's so funny, and I've never seen him do comedy before, but he's really done a great job.
And of course, his partner, Sheriff Bud Dearborn.
Oh yeah, William
played
Sanderson.
By William Sanderson, a terrific actor, been around forever.
A gentleman, really lovely man.
I did not need to see him in boxer shorts the last episode, but you know.
At least he had them.
Just the gun belt and no boxers would have been a whole different and the cowboy
kind of
boots would have been really creepy. I gotta tell you, Todd Lowe, as we mentioned, Terry Belflor.
Oh yeah.
Eric Northman is Alexander Skarsgård.
Mm-hmm.
He started out really evil, and now they're almost softening him.
I don't know.
Him up a little bit.
I don't know.
We've seen him smile.
You saw him smile.
That's for sure.
Exactly. I don't know if evil is the right word, but very self-centered,
self-motivated.
That's pretty much it.
All the self
words. All the self words, yes, yeah.
Who else do we have? Michelle Forbes again.
Yeah, Mishka's great. She's a Maenad. Maenad.
Now, was that a real...
creature, yeah.
Is that out of Greek mythology?
I think so.
Rutina Wesley, we mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she plays Tara, her best friend.
Really great. She's an angry person.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's her survival mode. I think, someone was talking about the other day, I think you just have to trust where they're going with her for next season. You know,
right.
So it's just the build of an arc for her. She's not,
you know, it's
her
interesting.
Character maybe,
you know what I have
she's
to say?
Not.
It's interesting because, yeah, she grew up, she had an alcoholic mother. Obviously, she had a very, very rough childhood.
Correct.
And, of course, she has all these scars from that. But right off the bat, she's like swearing at people and kind of had an attitude. And it was like, F you. And da da da. And then when she became a demon, it was like it's the same person. There wasn't much of a change because she was as mean before as she was.
Well, it heightens.
No,
what's
not
in
really.
You.
I'm just
it heightens
teasing.
A lot of what's in you.
Yeah.
So you know, and it comes out different in each character, and that's what's been confusing to some people.
Yeah. No, but she is outstanding. The whole cast.
Yeah.
Really.
Nelson Ellis, he plays Lafayette. He's great.
He's a real character.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Kwanten,
Jason
Stackhouse,
yeah.
Suki's brother.
Yeah.
I love that whole storyline where
going to the church,
the Christian right, and he infiltrates the organization. There's a group of Christians that are vampire haters, and turn out to be sort of a militaristic encampment that's now going to become vampire hunters. And wipe them out. Just really great story writing. Just really great ideas. And then intertwining all these different subplots and everything just seamlessly. It's a
great build for him to see where he got his knowledge for what he has to do now and continues to do as the episode continues next week.
Yeah, everyone is going through their... not only the arc of the story, but the arc of their individual characters.
Correct.
And where they started and where they're going and the mm-hmm. growth and everything that, that happens. It's just outstanding. Like you say, I think next year we're going to see, I think we're going to see True Blood sweep a lot of the Emmy Awards. I couldn't be happier.
They truly deserve it. They truly deserve it.
And I'm a voting Emmy member, so.
Hey, that's what we like.
Yes, one vote can make a difference.
Well, it really can.
So we're going to take a little break here. Take a word from our sponsor, 360 Vodka, the world's first eco-friendly vodka. The bottles are 80% recyclable. The labels are all printed from recycled paper. It is just the world's first eco-friendly vodka, saving the world one glass at a time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Out There.
Introducing an eco-friendly first, 360 Vodka. It's quadruple distilled and five times filtered. Design and production exhibit the highest degree of sustainability. It is the evolution of vodka. 360, the world's first eco-friendly premium vodka. Saving the planet, one glass at a time.
360 Vodka, distilled from grain, 40% alcohol by volume. Earth-friendly distilling company, Weston, Missouri.
Hey, this is Elaine Hendricks.
This is Mr. Haney.
This is Eric Estrada.
Hello, this is Irwin Keyes.
This is Krista Campbell.
Hi, I'm Megan Frenich.
I'm Tora Mass Mooney.
This is Ed Douglas from Midnight Syndicate.
Hi, I'm Miss Limelight.
This is Jamie Mann.
You're listening to Out There.
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 You are listening to Out There with Jeff Rector.
Jeff Rector.
You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector.
Jeff Rector
on LA Talk Radio.
Back in the studio with Patricia Bethune from True Blood.
Maybe Jane Bodehouse could go green and start drinking 360 vodka.
Oh, I love it. Jane, you want to give us a... We've got Jane Bodehouse from Bon Ton, Louisiana in the studio. What would you like to say about 360 Vodka?
I'm trying something new today. It's a little bit of vodka. 360 green, they say, but I'm drinking it with a little orange juice just to get my vitamin C as well.
It's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So far,
we
so
had a,
good.
I treated my... My guest, a friend of hers, Michelle, is silently sitting in the studio today. Had a little vodka and orange juice. I thought I'd let my guests try it. What do you think?
Generous man. A generous man is delicious.
It's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I always like a little vitamin C with my vodka.
And it's eco-friendly.
How new is that? I never heard of that.
That's because nobody's done it.
Really?
Everyone's too busy trying to make money off a product, and they developed this vodka and decided, hey, let's do it. Let's not only make it right, taste good, and be mm-hmm. a delicious product, but let's do something to help the earth and global warming. Not only are the labels, the printed paper labels, made of recycled paper, I mentioned the bottles are 80% recyclable, right. And when they distill the vodka, all the fumes and everything that go out into the air during the distillation process, actually they channel it and funnel it back in, and that helps power the distillery. How's that?
Wow, are they California-based?
For cool.
That's really cool.
Missouri.
Oh, out of Missouri.
Actually,
huh?
Leave it to the Missourians.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, show me.
It's the show me state. That's the perfect line from Jane Bodehouse. Show me.
Show me.
Show me something. So here's a shout out to 360 Vodka. Check it out and get some for yourself. Well, let's look at IMDb database.
Oh.
And you're no stranger to genre credits.
No, I have quite a few.
Journeyman.
Yep.
Sci-fi Journeyman. Series.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was just a couple of years ago, I think. That was too short-lived. He was a great guy.
Played a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was coming in, and I basically was giving... Was it penicillin? I think that it was something that he couldn't get in the future. It was a while ago. I don't remember now. Oh no!
You couldn't get penicillin in the future?
No, it was I was a.
That's a pretty bleak future.
No, he came back. Oh, stop.
The science actually goes backward.
Once the check clears, I forget. I think what it was is that he came to the past and he had taken amoxicillin or something that was in the future to cure whatever he had that didn't exist in our time. So it was kind of a phenomenon to us.
Nice.
That's what it was. See?
I got it.
It came back.
I came back. Grey's Anatomy, you were a nurse. I'm sensing a medical theme here.
No, it's just the face. If she's not drinking, she's caring.
Out of mind, you were a nurse again? What is this?
Oh, yeah, that was in a mental institution.
And you didn't even have to go to medical school.
No.
How cool is that? Just put on the white dress and the the white shoes and go to work. Invasion,
yeah.
Sci-fi series.
Exactly. I was a store owner in that one, so I've changed
careers. Oh, good. If it was a nurse, I was going to say I quit. That's too much. I play a lot of cops,
well,
so, you know.
Nothing wrong with people.
I get type K.
Yeah.
As long as they keep hiring me, I'll keep reading the Miranda Act.
It's our job to make them different.
Species 3, yeah. A great trilogy of Species movies.
Yeah.
Natasha Henstridge.
She was in it. She was in it. Sonny Mabray. And I played Colleen, who is a UFO, I thought.
No, that's perfect.
No, and I gave her a ride. Always the thing that'll happen in a sci-fi movie.
Going my way?
Yeah, always picking up the wrong person. Yeah.
Angel,
yes.
David Boreanaz, the spinoff from Buffy the Vampire.
Yeah, yep.
Slayer, you are the female elderly demon.
300 years old.
I would get the elderly off the resume. That's a little misleading there.
Well,
it's not true.
I was made up to look 300 years old, so maybe that's why I had full... Actually, the special effects they did was pretty amazing. It was a full face kind of a thing, a new mask to put on, but over the hours it melded to my face. So it took about 4 hours for them to try to get it off. Well, you've had experience with the special
effects.
Yeah,
Star Trek, it was about 2.5 hours to put on and about 20 minutes to take off because you're just ripping it off.
That my skin would have went with it.
Ooh.
It just kind of was, well, it's a new thing. I said, well, I'm glad to be your guinea pig.
It's a new thing. You look great. Unfortunately, it's going to take longer to take off.
It's a face peel of a new kind, yes. Yeah.
G versus E?
Yes.
Short-lived, but very very fun sci-fi series.
Yeah, it should have been around a little bit longer, but it was really fun. Yeah, the Pape Brothers did that.
It's frustrating when the good shows get canceled before they really get a chance to get their legs. X-Files, in the very beginning, had low ratings.
Exactly.
And they Fox had faith in it, and it kept growing, and it became this huge phenomena. So it's... It's always disappointing to see that happen when a good show
gets
pulled too soon. Arliss.
Did you like Arliss?
It's not really genre, but
no.
I love the show. Sports agent.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, I work with Sandra Oh both on that and on Grey's Anatomy, so it was
fun
to see her. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
That was
very, very fun. What did you play on that?
I was an activist, a nature's activist, who didn't want them to do something in a nature's preserve and was yelling at them. Brought them into meetings, things like that.
I love it. Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, yeah. Stand-up
the original.
The original, yes.
90210. Yeah. I did an episode of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You were a bad comic. You were a comedian?
I was a comedian doing stand-up, yeah. Well,
but
went in
poorly? Badly?
Badly.
And you were number two, so there was a bad comic number one.
Well, yes, which, you know, the audition came in, and I saw bad comic number one, but I thought I could make bad comic number two funnier. So when I went in the room, I just said, would you prefer me to start with two or one, even though they didn't want me to do the other one. And so I did it, and they actually thought I was, they didn't know it was on the page. They got fooled, and I, you know, during the middle of the routine, I say, can I start again? And the producer's like, well, yeah, go ahead, it's fine.
And then you switched over to two?
Right, no, well, exactly. It was very funny because they just didn't realize that I was being so bad, really. But but it was on the page.
Oh, that's funny.
That
and you got
sense.
The part.
So I got the part. Yeah, it was nice.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The Lost World.
Jurassic
Park.
Oh, yes. Steven Spielberg, who we watched for a moment. We did the scene, I was in the scene where in San Diego where the dinosaurs come over.
They come over from the island.
And there were about 200 or more atmosphere, some professional and some who just wanted to be in the movie.
Right.
And they did a lot of overhead shots, and then they came to the hand cam, which is running amidst us all, which was our close-up for us to do our special screams and things. And as we're going, people wanted to get on camera.
Oh, no.
And we do take, and people kept getting hurt. Well, it came to one point.
They kept
point,
trying to sort of
bump
maneuver their way in front of the camera.
So I ended up, the woman in front of me fell. I went over her and went to the ground and then got kicked in the back of the head from somebody wearing boots. And that was kind of the end of me. I was pulled off by the medic who pulls me into an alley, puts a big ice thing on my head.
Oh, my.
And to get me out of the way. And then they continue shooting. So I'm watching everybody down the alley getting their shots and then come limping back of whoever else was hurt in this
set. I'm in the alley.
Well,
what about?
Well, yes.
Don't forget me. I'm in the alley.
Exactly. But the worst part is the medic said, would you mind holding the ice pack on your own head? Because it's now my turn to get in. The crew gets to be in a shot. And I'm
no.
like, oh, my God. But at least they got
everybody
me.
Got in, but oh, but you
no,
got
I,
it.
I,
oh.
I was there early on, thank goodness, before the damage was done. But
before the boot to the head.
Before the boot to the head, but it left me quite fearful in crowd scenes for a while to come.
I'll bet.
Yes.
Now you know what the Japanese have to go through for the Godzilla films.
Oh my God, I couldn't even
imagine. They've been getting kicked in the head for years on those films.
Special effects for that, please. Yes.
Godzilla. Third Rock from the Sun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sci-fi comedy about aliens
right.
who come to Earth.
I forgot. Yes, John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, French Stewart.
French Stewart. Yes. The great thing on that show is that they work because of John Lithgow. It's like a theater performance, and so he does a similar thing where everybody is a part of the show, and you do a great run through ahead of time, and treat you with a beer at the end of the night. It was a beautiful thing.
And you got vodka at the beginning of the show, so
well,
that's a first.
There's a theme. It's a good way to start.
See, we all can have fun in this business. So really, and that's is that a three camera sitcom?
Rock? Yeah. And so,
it really is like, and you do it in front of a live audience.
Yes.
So it really is like doing a play, which is very cool.
Which is very cool. I mean, some of the new shows now actually shoot three camera, but they don't do it with a live audience.
It says here, sometimes you work as P.B. Hutton.
Well, in the beginning of my career, I did. I went by P.B. Hutton because I was doing a lot of stand-up. I thought it was kind of snappier, and I was married at the time. And then I got divorced, and I was just left with initials. So I thought I'd go to my real name, which is Patricia Bethune, also P.B.
So you actually are a stand-up comedian?
I did a lot of stand-up, years ago. I haven't
done
a long
know.
Time. Sure, yeah. Yeah, I prefer acting with people, because it's a very lonely life, and a lot of it is midnight and going from club to club. But and your best friend is a tape recorder, so
right.
it's a very hard world. And it was great for your chops for a joke, and it was great for sheer courage.
Sure.
And also work in a room that's dead. so you get used to the silence and still play the comedy. It's wonderful in many ways. But it's unless you have a true story to tell and a true voice, or just happen to love that medium,
right?
It's a hard place to be.
Yeah, I do stand up and did the improv and the Comedy Store, and like you said, it's late hours and it's kind of lonely, especially if you're on the road, because you're always bouncing around in different cities and you don't really get to really enjoy it and see much. You're kind of constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting to me is, and like you say, when you get your routine down, what's funny. So even
right.
if you have the worst room ever, you just keep rolling along because it's not you. It's the,
right.
it's the group or a odd room or whatever. But what's funny is in the very beginning you do these open mic nights.
Yes.
So it's for a way to comic to break in. And they're all other unknown comics that are all trying out their material. But what I found odd was, even though I did material that I knew was funny, in those open mics, the other comics on purpose won't laugh. It's like, I'm not giving. I'm not giving him anything.
Well, or it's the stand-up comedy laugh, which is... Well, no, I just meant that it's in their head. They hear you, and it's not the same. I'm a laugher, but that's just the nature of it.
If it's funny, I like to support it. But some of these guys just like, I'm not going to give him anything. He's my opponent.
Oh.
They're running
their own routine in their head.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I go. I make up a nice story. So...
You've got a new movie coming out called Say Hello to Stan Talmadge.
Yeah, Gary Cole, Jennifer Coolidge. It's a comedy set in the 70s, you know, where a father wants to reconnect with his family by taking them on a motorhome trip to go do a game show in California. Very
kind of like Little Miss Sunshine meets the 70s show.
Well, that's an interesting take on it. Yeah, I don't know their line for it, but yeah, similar. Yeah, but very funny.
Gary Cole, terrific actor, done everything from horror to comedy to the Brady Bunch.
He's doing the Entourage right
Mr.
now.
Mr. Brady, he's plays an agent with Ari Gold on Entourage.
Yep.
That's a very funny, interesting arc as well.
Yes.
Going on that show right now. Another HBO series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I must say that the very first short film I made called Fatal Kiss, which I turned into revamped, the feature film, I actually sold the short to HBO. It's one of the first shorts that they had bought in the sort of the history of the channel.
That's excellent.
So that was very cool. And
Go figure. Now, can we see the short somewhere, or are you just showing the full length?
Actually, no. I did the – it sort of ran the film festival circuit.
Oh, it did.
Won a bunch of awards, and then once I sold it to HBO, it was like, that's about as far. That's the best I could have gotten,
so
that was kind of...
I meant for us to see it now.
Kind of the end of it. Well, I will give you a copy of it.
Thank you.
We'll give you both a copy as a lovely parting gift.
Oh, great. That and a bottle of 360.
A bottle. I wish I could say I had that much product. Don't push it, honey. You got a glass, so... and a movie, so be grateful.
There you go.
Now, I'll actually give you a copy of Revamped as well.
I want you to see it.
So lots of exciting things. It's a great time for you.
It's a really good time for me. I have a bunch of commercials that are running as well, and I was able to work
with some... A gift that keeps on giving, residuals.
Yeah, but I work with some wonderful directors. Mark Pellington, who recently did the U2 3D movie. He also was a producer on Cold Case. I didn't know him then. And then Errol Morris directed one of them, who's an Academy Award-winning documentary director. And so I was really lucky to combine the short with really fine directors. And then coming up soon, I'll be on Sons of Tucson for Fox. I play a recurring role as a school secretary on that.
Cool.
And then Sunny with a Chance for Disney, a nice kids show.
Number one kids show on television.
Exactly. So that will be coming up later on this year. So
good for you.
Yeah, I got a lot of good things going on.
In fact, while I think about it, and while we're getting back to my movie, my audience have heard me talk about that from the beginning, but I actually helped write a song for the movie.
We
needed a country western song for the ending movie in a bar scene. We wanted sort of a Hank Williams tune, so we wrote it. It's called Baby, You're a Pain in the Neck. And it's the world's first, as far as I know, first and only country western vampire song.
Oh, my. Do we have a...
We got a cut for you. We'll play it. It's called Baby, You're a Pain in the Neck from Revamped, the movie. This would be a good one for Jane
to
dance to.
Anything with a solid beat, Jane.
Baby, I remember that night we met. You turned me into your eternal pet. I surrendered, I didn't put up a fight. You bit me, it felt so right. We made a pact forever. It was death that brought us together. I knew then what I know now. Might not have made that on earth live out. You're a pain in the neck. I've become a nervous wreck. I can't get drunk. I gotta sleep in a trunk. Oh, well, what the heck? I've become a fly by night. Some people don't think it's right. Put a price on my head, don't want to see me dead. And I gotta be home by light.
Should fit right in Bon Ton. Little honky tonk. blood sucking.
I'd like to love you more often, but it's tight inside this coffin. There's no escape from our immortal fate. Won't be seeing them pearly gates. Eternal life is overrated. My wardrobe's a little outdated. Some people might think it's gory, but it's our never-ending story.
Everybody, pain in the neck. I've become a mortal wreck.
Can't get drunk,
I gotta sleep in a trunk. Oh well, what the heck? I've become a fly by night. Some people don't think it's right. Got a price on my head, they wanna see me dead. I gotta be home by light. On my head, they wanna see me dead.
I gotta be home by light.
Yeah.
The world's first vampire country western song. Very proud of that.
You can't get drunk because you live in a trunk. Is that
sleep in the trunk because I gotta sleep in the trunk.
Very funny.
Yeah, we decided to have a little fun with it.
Yeah.
Patricia, we're almost out of time here.
Oh,
it's been
fast.
It goes fast. We have so much fun. What would you like to tell the fans out there?
Oh, I'd like to tell them to write into HBO. They love to hear from you. Watch the show. And most importantly, remember, only real magic is just being yourself.
One thing I always like to say, my famous quote is, you can be anything you want in this world. Don't let anyone tell you you can't. Do you have a website people can go to check out?
PatriciaBethune.com.
That's perfect.
Yeah, makes it easy.
www.PatriciaBethune.com. Thank you so much. Please tune in for the recap tonight of True Blood and the season finale next week.
September 13th.
There'll be a hiatus, and we'll be back with a brand new season.
Yes, we will.
Very exciting. Sweetheart, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next time on Out There.